We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Tries to win it. KU wins. The Missouri Tigers and the Kansas City Hawks.
Welcome, everybody, to the Border War podcast presented by the Kansas City Sports Network. We are hosted by 360 Vodka, and we're excited to have you join us here this afternoon. Usually, Jeff, we're recording at night. We've got an afternoon time slot here. We got lots to cover, man. We've missed some games. Kansas has had three games. Mizzou's had three as well. So it's good to kind of break into these two teams and some good trends for both teams.
Yeah, for sure.
Been a little up and down. Mizzou got a big win last night. Had a really just a blowout 25-point win at Ole Miss. And then Kansas with a big road win in Norman. Let's start right out of the gate with Kansas. You look back at where we were at the last time we talked, Jeff, was the Texas Tech loss, coming off the Texas Tech loss, going home to play Iowa State. And now on a three-game winning streak, they took care of West Virginia at home. And then a tough place to play always in Norman. Kansas able to get the win, make some shots late. Christian Brown hit a big three in the corner. Yeah. Ochai banged up, comes back, has a big second half playing through injury. Where are you at right now with Kansas? A three really good wins. And let's face it, any win in the Big 12 is a big win.
Yeah, for sure. For being a former Jayhawk, I guess, you asked where am I at with the Jayhawks. I think the Jayhawks they're really figuring some things out. They're still not right where they want to be. They're still getting better. Remy's still trying to figure things out. He's trying to get in the groove. McCormick's still trying to, and Lightfoot are still trying to understand how they can fully help the team out. And, Coach Self's, gone deep in his bench and tried out some other guys like Coleman Lands. Pettifer's gotten a couple, a little bit of go at it. KJ Adams. So he's still figuring some things out. But I think on a positive note, guys like DeJuan Harris, who plays big minutes, has really been stepping up. And you can really see with his production, what he did in the Iowa State game, just took his game and confidence to a whole nother level. And not only with DeJuan Harris, but you got to think about Jalen Wilson, who started off in a rough patch, kind of dug his way out of that rough patch, was searching for his soul and trying to find his game again. And I think right now the Jayhawks and Jayhawk Nation is really proud of, Jalen for fighting through all of that adversity, being able to continue to fight and plug his way through the season. And it's starting to turn out in his production. His last couple games, he's really been producing at a high level, like I think Coach Self imagined. And I mean, when you talk about CB and Ochai, again, those guys have just been carrying the load. And I'm kind of jumping around, but even that Iowa State coming off of that loss at Tech, as a Jayhawk fan and as a former player, I was looking at it like, man, that was a good game. Iowa State took them down to the wire. They made it almost seem as if the Jayhawks were going to take back-to-back losses in the Big 12 conference. So hats off to Iowa State. But again, with leaders with CB and Ochai, and obviously the game last night against OU, CB being able to hit a big clutch time shot down the stretch, a three with a hand in his face. I think that's going to continue to give him confidence to be able to take more shots like that, just not when the game is on the line, but just when they need a bucket. So that's good for CB. And Ochai kind of had a little bit of a hand issue early in the second half, but picked it up in the first half, but picked it up in the second half as well, too. So the Jayhawks are, I think, as a Jayhawk fan, as a former player, I think we're pretty proud of where the team is at right now. But no, there's still a lot more room for improvement as well.
When I look at if we rewind the tape back to the Iowa State game, some takeaways from just late game execution in that win against Iowa State and the win at Oklahoma. And I think it has a lot to do with Ochai Agbaji and his decision making. Right, he's hit some big shots late in games. We've talked about he's been much more aggressive downhill attacking, getting to the rim, getting a free throw line. But in the Iowa State game, you know, I thought it was really unselfish of him to drive the ball left, drew a lot of attention, and then basically pitched it behind him to DeJuan, who had the angle to get to the rim for that lay-in, right? That ultimately wins them the game. And you look at the play he made last night, like coming back with the wrist injury that he touched on. Hopefully there's nothing serious there, and it's his left hand, not his shooting hand, thankfully. But he makes, a drive. He doesn't have anything, and he makes a perfect kick-out pass, and Christian Brown steps up and hits a big shot. But I still think it comes back to Ochai making the right play, right? Not forcing, not taking a bad shot. Yeah. I always find it tough with this conversation. I'm curious to get your thought on this. This is probably a bigger basketball question. And from a coaching standpoint, I'm curious. Obviously, you want your best players to get touches late in a close game, right? You want to put your best players in a position to make a play. I think Michael Jordan dealt with this. I think LeBron dealt with this. I think Kobe Bryant dealt with this of being passive late, right? Where they drive the ball and it's like, well, why didn't they shoot the ball? And they make the right play and they lose it. Let's say the shot misses and then they're getting grief for, and it just, you know, there's a no win situation sometimes in those late scenarios, but you put the ball in your best player's hands to make decisions, right? And that can be scoring the ball and be aggressive. But the coach puts the ball in their hand because they trust him to make whatever the right play is, and they'll live with the outcome. And that, to me, is a big sign that you got two wins, two really good Big 12 wins. And, look, Iowa State was going to be a tough game. I mean, they're a tough team. I think TJ's done a very good job in terms of getting that team to defend. And, like, you look at the game in the 60s, it was back and forth.
Yeah.
And Kansas gets a win. I mean, that game in Ames is going to be a great battle again. Yeah. Another tough place to play, but – I think Ochai has really, we've talked about him a lot and we talked about the efficiency and the scoring, but I still think it comes down to, he's just making better decisions. He's playing like a veteran player.
Yeah.
And you love to see that with your best player.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. And you hit the nail on the head. Even going back to, the Iowa State game, he was covered. I mean, he could have forced a shot. But like you said, he made the right play. DeJuan Harris had the angle, had the great opportunity to be able to get 2 feet in the paint on that. Ochai was getting, I mean, they were showing strong help on that Iowa State game. So I think that was a smart move. And even late in the game against OU, the ball was in Ochai's hand, coming off a ball screen. He had really almost 2 to 3 people still chasing him down. So again, he can go in there and force a shot on 3 to 4 players and try to make a play. But again, he recognized that, you know, Christian was open. He got a shooter in the corner and just went ahead. Excuse me, that's my phone. Went ahead and threw it to the corner to CB to make that amazing shot. And you said it best. Ochai has been doing a really great job of showing that veteran leadership. To me, he's just been showing me that, like, man, that's that league talk. Like, man, that's how someone in the league represents himself. For him to want the ball in those moments, I think that really separates him from a lot of the players in college, because he wants the ball in those moments and he's willing to take the criticism if he passes that off and Christian misses that. Well, Ochai should have He should have shot it. So for him to want the ball in both of those possessions, even in Iowa State and Oklahoma, is a good sign for the Jayhawks.
I think the two guys, too, and you hit on one of them. It feels like Jalen Wilson and David McCormick are the two players that really can take this team. And yeah. I guess you'd put Remy Martin in this conversation, yeah. too, just him health-wise. He did play last night, played in the first half. I do think some turnovers cost him to probably not play as much in the second half. But let's talk about Jalen Wilson, because I think you touched on it. It was a big point that I was going to bring up, because we've talked about Jalen in the past when he was coming off the bench, not really playing. Yeah. And now all of a sudden he's put together some strong performances. He had 23-8 in that West Virginia game. He hit three threes. He was 10 of 13 from the field. I mean, super efficient. Yeah. You know, that's the type of player Jalen Wilson can be, and that's his skill set. It's playing that way consistently, right? It's getting that production from him. He was good again last night for Kansas. Thought he did a really nice job in terms of, again, not forcing, you know, starting to play more confidently, hit a couple threes, 6 of 10 from the field. You know, you look at those efficiencies. We touch on that production and consistency all the time, and they're getting that. David McCormick's had, you know, some good moments as well. West Virginia, he was very good in that game. I think in that game he was really more of an impact in that paint against West Virginia. You know, plus 11 at the half. Like he really had an impact on that win. Struggled the next night out. So you're trying to find that with David as well. And then Remy hopefully can come along and stay healthy and find his rhythm. And this team can flow. So it's almost like we're still not finding, you know, that peak Kansas team that you're going to want to see, but they're still winning games and their top players are still performing at a high level.
Yeah. And this is about that time where about five games in the conference where Coach Self is really, he's really confident with, you know, his lineup, his players, and he kind of knows what he's going to get out of each and every one of them. And right now it's still just a process of development for some of these guys. Jalen's still, I think, getting into his comfort zone. He's doing it more on a consistent basis, like you mentioned, but I still think he's getting into his comfort zone. I think Jalen can, you know, still be a little bit more aggressive. Obviously, the way he's been playing these last couple of games, I think he still has room to improve as far as being more aggressive and doing a little bit more because he's starting to feel get into his game. So, but again, I know I mentioned McCormick a little bit earlier as well too, but I think he's going to be one of the X factors as far as how far this team can go. But I think, to be honest, if David can just rebound the ball and play defense, no matter what he scores in a game, I think the Jayhawks can live with that, especially with the way Jalen's playing. DeJuan's doing a good job of keeping the defense honest, hitting a couple outside shots, getting to the rim, finishing at the rim. So that makes the defense play honest and open things up as well too. And they're still waiting to see what Remy's going to do. Coming off of that knee injury, Remy's going to still be trying to find himself. And if I had some advice to give to Remy, it's just, you know, he's figured out how to play within the Kansas basketball system. Mm-hmm. Now I think Remy just needs to bring that Arizona State game within that Kansas system, because that Arizona State game can still live within a Kansas system. You just got to know when to pick your poison and when to get your shots. So hopefully Remy can figure that out. But I think the Jayhawks are really going to need some good protection with Remy and David down the stretch for these guys to really be productive, because Jalen's giving them all that he can.
I think that day's coming for Remy. I mean,
it is.
He's too good of a player. And, you know, at some point, you know, you're going to need that. And look, like, we've talked a lot about Kansas bench, right? Like, you got to find some bench production. And Mitch Lightfoot gave them that production at 9 points. Those are big buckets in a, you know, somewhat of a grinded out type of game. And Mitch gave him good minutes. I think he's 4 or 5 from the field. So, again, very efficient. Yeah. In those minutes. And that's what you're looking for with someone coming off the bench. And it doesn't always have to be scoring, but you do have to find a lift off the bench. Yep. Foul trouble is going to be a part of the game at some point in every, you know, in any game Kansas plays. You hope you're not in foul trouble, but it will come up at some point in the season, and you got to have guys step up and make plays. I mean, we've seen Jalen Coleman-Lance have a good game off the bench where he shoots the ball well. So it's these taking these one-off games and building on it, right? And that's what every coach is going to talk about. And you mentioned they're in league play, and this league is no joke. We just saw K-State win at Texas last night.
That's who KU has next, too. That's going to be a tough one.
At Bramlage, too, man. That's a big game. The Sunflower Showdown, like, that's always a game K-State has circled. Probably that place is going to be lit and packed, and you know that drill, and that place gets loud, too. So that's going to be a tough next game. We'll see how, you know, if Ochai can stay healthy as well. We'll see what that left wrist. But the fact he came back and then he made shots. I mean, he hit some big shots. And that's tough to do for a shooter, even though it's his offhand. I mean, that can still bother your shot, right? I mean, it's your offhand. But when you're in pain, it can mess with your mechanics. And it looked like he just fought through that and played through that. Just goes to show you the toughness, too, of Ochai, knowing he's got to come back in a game like that. There is one piece of this team right now in conference play I did want to bring up, because it was brought to my attention in the West Virginia game. I was kind of looking through some of the numbers, and the turnover margin from like non-conference play to conference play, you know, Kansas has got to take care of that ball and value that ball. And sometimes they can get sped up. They get some, you know, dumb turnovers, bad turnovers. You know, I think any turnover, when you're starting to compound turnovers, that can drive a coach nuts. That's where you see a lot of these substitutions. That's where Remy doesn't play a lot in the second half. Yeah. You got to take care of the ball, and you got to take care of the ball on the road, most importantly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it, I think that's still a small thing that Kansas cannot let seep in road games is turnovers. They got to take care of the ball. They got to get good shots. They got to, you know, they got to continue to battle in the paint, limit teams to one shot, rebound the ball. I know rebounding has been a top conversation, but taking care of the ball is still a big piece for this team. They got good guard play with DeJuan and Remy. They got to take care of the ball. They're fully capable of taking care of the ball and getting good possessions.
Yeah, and to echo on that, I know, I mean, Coach Self, that's a pet peeve of his, not taking care of the ball. I think any coach is a pet peeve. It's just, I mean, it's just a simple philosophy that, you know, if you turn the ball over, you're pretty much, in a nutshell, you're giving the other team your shot opportunity. So I think every team, they always want to maximize their shot opportunities. And the quickest way to devalue that is to turn the ball over. And with Coach Self and any team, turnovers, they're annoying. They're annoying. So they're very annoying. But with, like you said, with DeJuan, Remy, Oach, even CB, even Jalen, who handles the ball sometimes, gets up and down the floor. Those guys know how to handle the ball. They just need to value the ball. You'll hear Coach Self say that a lot, value the ball. They got to value the basketball. They have to, you know, think that basketball is everything when they have it in their hands, and they want to do everything in their power to take care of it. That's not the way that they have to value the basketball when they have it in their hands.
Two big ones again for Kansas. They go to K-State and they come home to play Texas Tech on Big Monday. So some big games.
Big 12, baby.
It's the Big 12. And then I don't want to look too far ahead because it's one game at a time, but then they got Kentucky. And that's the big 12 SEC challenge at home, college game day in the house. It's a big ticket. And that Kentucky team is really good. That's going to be a good measuring point for Kansas. And it is at home. That Kentucky team is solid. Ty Washington can go. He's a really good guard. They got some good pieces, veteran pieces around him. Oscar Tshiebwe, one of the better rebounders in the country. That's going to be a big challenge for Kansas. And I think a good, especially into January, you got the whole month of February to follow. That's going to be a big one too. And then you're right back into league play. You know, it's just, no night off.
No nights, baby.
No night off.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Let's flip the script and let's talk about Mizzou, man. Again, it's been
talk about that coaching change, man. What's up? Let me know. What's
let's
up?
Start there. I'm glad you're bringing this
let's
up,
go.
Man.
Come on, man.
I'll be the first to tell you that I was duped, right? And for those that don't know, there was a tweet out there last week saying that Konzo Martin was relieved of his duties. It was a parody account. A lot of even Bleacher Report ran with it and didn't look too good following that. I had to take it down pretty quickly, but. It was a false report, obviously. It was just a parody account. But, man, that lit up a lot of Mizzou fans and a lot of people asking questions. You had Mizzou beat writers having to come out and say, no, there's nothing happening. It was a weird, weird situation. And this was the day after Missouri went to Arkansas and got absolutely humiliated and blown out of the water. They won at home against Alabama. Last time we had a podcast, Mizzou played well. They scored 90 points. They beat Alabama at home. We went on and on about, man, there were some good takeaways from that game. Kobe Brown was great. Teron Brazil. Then they go to Arkansas, and I didn't even know what you even say about that game. I mean, Missouri had 15 points in the first half. I believe they shot 7% from three and something less than 20% from the field. They got blown out, and they scored 43. Arkansas scored 41 in one half in the first half. It was one of the most ugly games you'll see, and Missouri's had some ugly ones, Kansas being one, Kentucky, Illinois. We know all these blowouts that they've had, and it was sort of like feast or famine. You just beat a, you know, fit number 15 team ranked team in Alabama, and then Arkansas had lost three in a row, and it wasn't like they were playing all that well, and Missouri got absolutely blown out of the water. Then Missouri comes home and plays Texas A&M. And Texas A&M, not ranked, but a team that has won a lot of games. Yeah. Like Buzz Williams has done a really nice job with this team. And A&M, I mean, Missouri had the lead for 35 minutes in that game. Missouri was up 10 at the half, really playing well. And Missouri really gave that game away. They struggled in the second half to get some offense going. They hit three threes in the first half. They hit one in the second half, but really struggled to get anything going offensively. Points in the paint were a factor. Late, A&M kind of made a run, had some bench points. It was more of a balanced game towards the end, but Missouri gave that one away. And so you're starting to think Missouri beats Texas A&M, and then the performance they gave last night against Ole Miss, you could look up, there's 3-2 in replay.
Oh, yeah.
And for as bad as Missouri has been, and they have been bad this year, they have played better. And it's very streaky. It's very inconsistent. It's, again, highest of highs and lowest of lows. They're trying to find some middle ground. And Konzo talked about it last night. I'm glad he said it, but he started talking about this team from a defensive standpoint. Like, they were so bad against Arkansas offensively. But defensively, they were just as bad. And so, as you know, I mean, sometimes you can struggle and be flat and stagnant in your offense. You can get in no rhythm, but you can't stop defending. You cannot stop playing.
Never. Defense.
And it was just – it was bad all around. And Konzo's talked a lot about the DNA, getting back to what's our identity going to be. And with Konzo and his tenure as a head coach, whether it be at Tennessee, Missouri State, at Cal – you know, he rests his hat on defense, on toughness, on grittiness, limiting teams to one shot, being aggressive, dictating the ball, getting into guys, playing defense through the shot clock, all these things that every coach wants to talk about, and that is attention to detail and discipline on the defensive end. Well, sure enough, they go to Ole Miss, and they look really good defensively. Yeah. And Ole Miss is not a great team by any means. They have had some injury issues. But Missouri was great on both ends of the floor, and Missouri did, I think they only attempted 7 threes in this game. So you're talking about a team that just changed their script. Yeah. And I've said it so many times to you, Jeff, of this team and how bad they are from three. And in the modern day game, you got to shoot the three. Yeah. Missouri cannot do that consistently. So it's almost like you have to accept who you are and adjust to that. Missouri shot 63% from the field last night. They had 32 buckets. I mean, they were very efficient around the rim, and they got great bench production from Amari Davis, who had a perfect game. He went 10 for 10 from the field, gave him 23 points. Man, you know, that's Missouri's been waiting for someone to step up and score the ball like that. And Amari's done that in his past before he transferred to Mizzou. They get some serious production from him. Jaron Coleman, Konzo talked about this. Like, Jaron's fallen in love with offense and trying to find a shot. He's a three-point shooter. He has 13 rebounds, and Konzo has really stressed him. Hey, man, shot's not going. What else are you going to do? You're a capable rebounder. And that's where I think where Konzo Martin's staff deserves some credit here is talking about DNA and getting back to, hey, you've had some terrible losses. Your offensive efficiency, your defensive efficiency has been beyond poor. I think Missouri at one point was 298th in the country in Division I in terms of offensive efficiency. I mean, that is bottom of the barrel offensively. And to finally find some rhythm, right? You beat Alabama. You get smacked by Arkansas. You come back, you play A&M pretty well, and you probably should have won that game, and you give it up. You beat yourself with 17 turnovers. That was a big part of it. You got to close. You got to take care of the ball.
That's been a problem. Care of it.
Yep, that's been a problem for Konzo. But then they bounce back, and they win by 25 at Ole Miss. They're plus 14 on the glass. They're plus 7 with assists. But it gets back to that defense. So I'm interested. Here we are again. Where does Missouri go from here? Are they going to turn the script and go get blown out their next game? They go to Alabama. Are they going to go get blown out? Or are they going to be competitive? And I've said this to you as well. All I'm looking for Missouri is to be competitive and to be in games, not get blown out by 30 and not score 15 points and a half. Find some consistency game to game and half to half. And it looks like they're slowly showing some positive signs.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, sometimes with the coaching change and, you know, that can spark some things. And I mean, but you look at it, you know, when they had that devastating loss after a big win against Alabama. But again, and then they come back and they fight. And I think you said it, they gave that game away. And but I think from a positive standpoint, even to be able to hear that Missouri gave that game away to a good team shows that they're in the hunt, you know, I think Missouri, they need to focus on the positives. Yeah, we gave that game away. Nobody wants to give a game away, but we were right there. Like, we were right there with a good opponent. We've already proven ourselves that we can beat a top 15 team. And again, we've showed that we can also come back in and compete against a good Texas A&M team, was 15-2, and then come back out and be able to show that they can defend as well too. So that makes a big difference as well too. So I think, I mean, you know, man, again, Jerry, you know, I get hyped when we start talking about our rival team. You know, I told you so much. I want you guys to have success, just not when you guys are playing us. Obviously, I think it helps strengthens the rivalry and makes that game even more special than what it's been in the past. But I think the question was, where does Missouri go from here? I mean, up. I mean, that's the way I see it, up. They have to continue to keep getting better. Guys are playing with more confidence, and they have to continue to bank on that. In order to maximize their season the way they want to. Like you said, Amari Davis, Davis came in 23 points, 10 for 10 from the field. Even Coleman, I mean, you mentioned he had 13 rebounds, but he also had 7 assists too. So him being able to distribute the ball, guys are playing well. Kobe Brown, you know what you're going to get out of him. But I think I mentioned the last spot, I think what's going to help this Missouri team is when other guys can step up and they just don't leave it. You know, Kobe shouldn't have to feel like he has to go get 30. He has to go get 25 here. if Kobe needs to, you know, end the day with 15 and 7, then he can end the day with 15 and 7, knowing that he has other guys that can carry the load as well, too. But, you know, there are some times where Kobe's is going to go out and shots are going to be falling. He's going to get his like he can get, you know, we know he can go off for 30. But it's also good to know when you have a player that can go off for 30, and he also has a supporting cast that can also help him out as well, too. So I think Missouri has nowhere to go but up.
I think, you know, when you talk about it, and it's perfectly said of like guys stepping up and helping carry some of the load. And we're not talking about freshmen here either. We're talking about junior transfers, right? We're talking about guys that have been around. I think that's probably been a lot of the frustration for Konzo Martin and his staff is these transfers that they brought in, they're older guys, and they're guys that at you know, a little bit of a smaller level, a little bit of a tier down, still were big time scorers and shooters. And, you know, I think there's a conversation to be had of, look, Konzo's done pretty well in the transfer portal, right? He's had Cassius Robertson, who was a great player. Drew Smith, who was a great player, one of the better defenders in the SEC last year. Obviously, Mark Smith was a good transfer. Now look what he's doing at K-State, leading the Big 12 in rebounding. So, you know, the staff has identified the transfer market pretty well. But I think the frustration is they have not gotten any sort of consistency from any of them to see Jarron Coleman play as well as he did, to do some things that we haven't seen from him all season, and to do it in the league game and on the road. Like, you know, this for Missouri to win on the road by 25 points against anybody, who saw that come? I mean, who was on the – was that on the bingo board? I don't think it was, man. Like, that was – I mean, I was a little bit shocked. And again, Mizzou fans are like, what is this team? Like, it's just, like, all over the place. And they get another big win. But I'm just going to tell you right now, Trevon Brazil is the guy. And I know
he's – You love that guy. You love
him. I love this guy, man. He is so – he's – first of all, he's very athletic. But he defends. And he can defend 1 through 5. I mean, he really can. He's a freshman. Like, he's not that strong, but he's slowly getting there in terms of just IQ. Offensively, he's still raw. He's still developing. He turns the ball over. You know, he does some things most freshmen do.
He's a freshman stuff. Yeah.
But yeah, it's tough for me because I know they're trying. I mean, they've gotten some wins now, and they're playing guys. They're bringing Ronnie DeGray off the bench. Ronnie DeGray's been really good for them. If you look at analytics, DeGray is a really good player for them in terms of versatility. He can make shots. He was efficient last night. He was 5 of 6 in 25 minutes, had 11 points and 6 rebounds. It's a good night for him off the bench. But I still think Trevon Brazil playing 16 minutes, I'd love to see him get to 25. I mean, he had 2 blocks in those 16 minutes. This guy, when he's been on the floor for 25, 30 minutes, he's getting 3 or 4 blocks. Yeah. And I mean, he is so good around the rim. And like, as you know, with most shot blockers, you got, especially guys that are blocking shots at 3 to 4 per game, they got a knack for it. They have timing. They have anticipation. They have instincts. They have a knack to really identify the ball, especially as a secondary defender and not just a primary defender. I mean, he is very instinctual. Those things I really like about this kid. And he's, I just think the more experience he gets, the better off he's going to be. And he's still working through it. But, you know, I think Missouri fans are wanting to see more out of him. That's a tough place for Konzo to be in because he, you know, he's starting Trevon, but it's also trying to work in Amari and Ronnie and try to have some scoring and some offense. And then you're bringing in Trevon mostly for defense right now. But, man, every now and then he'll show some flashes offensively. He's a good rebounder. So he's a guy that I'm just going to keeping tabs on as we go through this because I'm waiting for that freshman breakout game from him where you look up and he's got 16 points.
Yeah.
You start to see a little bit more of his game because he's a little bit timid right now on offense.
Hey, but if you go back to what you said earlier, and I'm just going off what you're saying, and it's the truth, but Missouri's going to, I think for Missouri to really turn this tide around, it's going to start on the defensive end. And you talk about with Trevon and his knack for just going after block shots. That just goes to tell you right there, that's a defensive first guy. And that's a guy that you probably need on the floor because other guys are gonna feed from him. You know, when you look at his numbers, I think he's a guy that has to at least play 20-25 minutes.
Yep.
Just because of, like you said, I think his production, his numbers are higher. He has more energy. And this is a guy that's going to bring it on the defensive end. and he's not going to worry about offense. He's going to take what he can get from the offensive end. He's not shy by no means on the offensive end. But I think if you keep a guy like that to get his defensive mojo up, it's just only going to help the rest of the players get their mojo up on the defensive end. And when you play on the defensive end, that offensive possession, when you lock up on the defensive end, that next offensive possession always seems a little bit more easier because you know you can hang your hat on the defensive end.
Yep, no question. That's a great point. Like I said, Konza's a defensive-minded guy.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost like if you were to hire a defensive coordinator in football, like, he has that defensive mentality. When him talking about the DNA, I think that is a direct shot of that's where he's at right now with this team is.
Yep.
They've lost their identity, and it's because they have not played well offensively, and they are letting that seep into what they are defensively. And I think he's addressed that, and they played a lot better. But again, we'll see where they go. This team was 172nd in KenPom, and now they're 139th after that Ole Miss win. So they jumped 34 spots.
That's awesome.
That's a big jump, but it's all because they finally had a little bit of a breakthrough with the offensive side of the ball and the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
And look, they shot 7 threes. So people are saying, well, you know, Konza just doesn't want them shooting threes. Not necessarily the case. I think when it's the right shot, take
it. Yeah, the right shot.
But it's not just throwing up threes when nobody on this team is over 30% from three. I mean, you at some point have to, and especially, look, we're in January in league play. Coaches are going to make some adjustments, and they're going to, you know, if you're taking bad shots, you're going to get subbed out. You're going to the bench. They're bringing in young guys. You know, that's just what coaches are going to do. And that's going to be interesting to see kind of as we keep moving through this league season for Mizzou. They got two big ones. They go to Alabama, and then they come home and they play Auburn. And Auburn is, man, they are they're always an athletic team.
Yeah, they are.
But man, they got some studs, man, and they got a potential number one overall pick on that team. That is, man, he can go. I've seen him live, and he is a problem. he is a talented kid. And Jabari Smith. So that will be a fun matchup. Two big ones for Mizzou. Jeff, before we go, I'd be remiss if we didn't talk about Ron Franklin, who was the voice of Big Monday when you played, and my two years. I believe he retired after my sophomore year. He passed away last night. So did want to give a shout out to Ron Franklin, an iconic voice in college athletics, both football and basketball.
Yeah.
But growing up, watching the Big 12 when growing up in Kansas City, like Ron Franklin and John Sunil Big Monday, and those games were always like must watch. Big Monday's must watch still with Fran, but man, like Ron Franklin was the voice during a long period of Big 12 basketball when me and you played. One of the nicest guys too. I was starstruck the first time I met him. Really great guy. So we lost an iconic voice in our sport,
and who cared about the game just as much as those guys coaching and playing on it, playing on the floor too. Yeah, we lost a legend.
Yeah, he carried the broadcast, and I when we were in the NCAA tournament, we played against Memphis, and Dick Enberg was on the call for CBS, and Dick Enberg is a legend. And I mean, some of these guys that we've lost, they made the game so much more thrilling and exciting.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's a real thing. And
it is.
I mean, he was. His voice, but he was also just a great dude and easy to talk to. And he really worked, obviously. Like, he'd be at every shoot around and did his due diligence, did his homework. Like, he really cared about getting it right, talking about players and backgrounds and pronunciations and history. I mean, he just always, I felt like, was all, like, had the pulse of every team in the league. And you could tell he loved basketball, too. I mean, he was on every big national college football game. But basketball wise, man, he was fantastic. And when I heard he passed last night, I just, all these memories came back, man, of just watching games. You know, the Collison Heinrich era with you guys, man. Like,
how an good iconic you guys voice, were. Man.
Man, man. Tough
it's
to,
funny
to
how those one. Voices stick in your head, man.
They do.
And
they
his
do.
Voice will always be like his voice will always be in our heads, man.
Yeah. And to think about all the guys now that are doing play by play that, you know, maybe have climbed the ladder. That probably looked up to Ron Franklin.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
We all have
pioneer
role models. We all have people that we, yeah, exactly. We all have people we look up, coaches we look up to. And so when we lose them, it's always is a time to reflect and
for sure.
Be grateful we had them too for when we did. So, Jeff, this is it's fun to connect, man. It's been too long.
Always.
We had a lot of ground to cover. We did that.
Yeah, we did. 3 games to cover a piece. Jeez.
3 games. I think we went through it pretty smoothly.
Yeah, we did. I think
pretty smoothly. So, big ones coming up for both teams. Hopefully we can talk more wins as we
get through this. We'll keep that going. Let's do it.
All right, Jeff, have a good one.
Hey, you betcha. See you guys.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.